You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 5.
Creative at goose.com. Don't forget the E's on the end of creative and the E on the end of goose. Goose.com. Anyway, we are continuing to have Edie's bulletin board, garden bulletin board, and garden events in the whole Bay Area. So, and here comes Edie.
Good morning, everybody. All righty. So let's just go right on into it. Don't forget to visit bobtanum.com for links to Master Gardeners programs in your area. So there you go. There's lots of information on bobtanum.com. The Russian River Rose Company will have appointments for visits and all sorts of fun stuff. And you can always call them for that. It's 707-433-7455, 707-433-7455. And they're up in the way North Bay. The Art of Sheet Mulching, the Alameda County Master Gardeners, ACMG at ucanr.edu is how to get in touch with them. That was ACMG at ucanr.edu. And they are doing the Art of Sheet Mulching on May 26th at 7 p.m. A webinar. You can also go to ucanr.zoom.us for more information about all sorts of online events or online courses that you can sign up and take for free. Master Gardeners. Virtual Butterfly Walk. This is in University of California Botanical Gardens online today. So if you don't want to go there in person, which you can also, I believe, also in going in, but you can also see what it's like to see. Well, they're going to capture all the butterflies. If you go in person, you might miss them all because, you know. And that's online today from 11 to 12. It's a free one-hour event. And you can go to events.berkeley.edu, or you can register for the class at 417-80.blackbaud, Blackbaud, it's B-L-A-C-K-B-A-U-D, hosting.com. That's the well, you know what it is. But otherwise, events.berkeley.edu. All about tomatoes today with Thrillers. I don't know if today's or no. Oh, no, didn't have the day. All About Tomatoes. That's coming up this week with Thrillers, Fillers, and Spillers Container Gardening. You can call them to find out when. 925-457-5422. That's 925-457-5422. You can also go to their website, which is www.thrillersfillersspillers.com. Thrillersfillersthenspillers.com. All right, then you can get tickets at Eventbrite for all of their events. Artscapes in the Garden is at Ruth Bancroft Garden and Nursery at 1552 Bancroft Road in Walnut Creek. They're having an Ikebana outdoor exhibit from May 18th through the 23rd. And you can see how to get there and what to do at www.ruthbancroftgarden.org. And there you go. Planting for Pollinators on Thursday, May 20th at 6 p.m. at the San Francisco Garden, San Francisco Botanical Gardens, and Fog City Gardener is putting this webinar on. You can get your link by going to SFBG, San Francisco Botanical Garden, .secure.force.com. That's SFBG.secure.force.com. So that's the San Francisco Botanical Gardens, where they will also have a link on their website as well. May 22nd, in person. This is the beginning beekeeping class that they are giving at the Garden for the Environment. And they are at 1597th Avenue in San Francisco. You need to have tickets before you go. So go to Eventbrite for tickets and look for Garden for the Environment Beginning Beekeeping. You could also call them at 415-558-8246. Again, 415-558-8246. May 22nd, East Bay Plant Sale is happening at the Alameda South Shore Center. So if you know where the Alameda South Shore Center is, next Saturday they're having the East Bay Plant Sale. And then we have creative container gardening at the Gamble Gardens, May 22nd at 9:30 they start. And that is located at 1431 Waverly Street in Palo Alto. That's 1431 Waverly Street in Palo Alto. Give them a call at 650-329-1356. 650-329-1356. And don't forget, you can always go to the Bees and Blooms in Santa Rosa. They're at 3883 Petaluma Hill Road, Santa Rosa. And they have an 11-acre farm. And they also sell cut flowers and also plants and honeybees. So 707-293-8293. If you need to get out of the house, 707-293-8293. All right, Dad, there you go. Call.
Well, how about that? That leaves some lines left open. I haven't even heard of it. Anyway, we do have lines left open if you would like to call. Now is the time. And everybody waits until 5 minutes before the hour is over. I only have 1 hour. Come on, let's get going. 1-415, then 808-5600. I think the subject of this morning is drought and mulch and what to do. I got some pictures the other day about somebody putting mulch down that looked like nothing but a bunch of broken up boards pushed around their shrubs, and they were wondering why their shrubs and plants weren't doing well. Now, I do recommend mulching. I do recommend being very careful about it. And one of the reasons is that mulching does protect the soil from hot sun, if we ever get any. God, I'm looking at the weather right now. My poor tomato plants are fine. They've only been in ground for about a week. And they had they're no longer stressed because they didn't have any reason to be stressed. It's been cool. So the transplant thing went well. Other than that, but we're talking about mulch. And 1-415, then 808-5600 if you want to jump in. And if you don't jump in, you're just going to have to we have somebody. Okay, thanks, Ed. Ed from Danville, let's go.
Good morning, Bob.
Hi. How can I help you?
Quick question. Do you know why this year the crop of apples was a little different? I didn't see a lot of Red Delicious or Golden apples on the market. I saw all other kinds of apples, but these two were so rare. You know what happened or the reason?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for the lack of production for a lot of fruit trees. Citrus loved it. It was a great time for citrus for some reason this last year. It's been on the market, and they're very good, and they've been sweet, and I've enjoyed it. So anyway, what I would sort of put out an idea that might possibly work is the lack of rain. I think that the rain came at the wrong time of the year. When we did get it, the bees and the cool weather, the bees don't like to get out there and get their undies cold. So that's one of the problems they have. So I think, Ed, the reason would be the green apples are the best apples for production and for being able to be without. Okay, they can be stored easily, and they last a long time. And that's really the reason you'll see those kind of apples. The Red Delicious and the Yellow Delicious are not as easily preserved. Does that make sense?
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right, and better luck next time. There we go.
By the way, I love your show.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy doing it. It's a big job. I wish I had more time, because everybody wakes up finally at about the 5 minutes before the hour's over, and then they want to get in. So anyway, I got to get going. Okay, Ed, thank you so much for the observation, and we'll talk to you some other day. Thank you. Let's go to John in Saratoga. Hi there, John.
Morning, Bob. Yeah, I kind of have a thing about bees too. You just mentioned that. I wanted to ask you what happened to the bee population. I was in my backyard an hour ago, and in springs and summers past, I could go in the backyard and, if I wanted to, count 100 of them. And I didn't see a single one this morning in my backyard. I want to know what you think about this. What's going on with the bees?
I believe there's been an awful lot of lack of production, I would say, of the blossoming at the right time of the year. Bees need to have some beehives around because their normal kind of places where they can go don't exist anymore. And so the lack of production of the bees is something that we can actually help with. You know, we can't control the weather, but we can certainly do something with the bees. And I think more hives and that type of thing out there would work. Also, this year, the temperature's not been very productive for the bees. They don't really like to get out in the rain. They don't really like to get out when the weather is sort of like today. It's sort of foggy. I don't know what it is down in Saratoga, but it's just one of those things that we have to face. And we can put out, I would recommend planting a lot of different kinds of flowers, including white alyssum. They love that. So maybe there's some help that you could do, John, by planting certain kind of pollinators in your yard.
Okay. Do you think this has long-term impact on food? On
Oh yeah.
You know, like agriculture.
Without bees, we don't. Without bees, we don't eat. Well, you can have root crops like beets and carrots, but how long can you live on that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not really into that, anyways. Okay.
So go plant some zinnias, plant some really good plants that bees like. Native plants, some of those. And, you know, honeybees are not the live-all. We do have native bees and pollinators. So maybe encourage those in your yard and putting out California native.
The hummingbirds kind of act as bees too, right? Because I see them out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're dancing around the plants and the...
Well, and you can do some things, you know, like shake your tomato plants every lunchtime. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John, for that. Okay, Cindy, George, and Henry, we'll just hang on. We've got to take a little break and make some money for the station. Otherwise, I'm gone. Anyway, this is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Hi there to Cindy.
Hello there, Bob. Thank you for your wonderful show.
Well, Bob,
my question is, I have a Benjamina tree. I moved it to get more sunlight, and then
turned yellow.
Yeah, exactly.
And they dropped off.
Yes. Not all, but some. Some are green.
Yeah. Okay. And you moved it how long ago?
Oh, I moved it about a month or less, but then I brought it back into the shade. It likes the shade better, but
okay.
It still needs help.
That's double trouble, Cindy. They do not like to be moved.
Oh, I see. That seems to be very true.
They just don't like it. So, you know, it's funny that there's a lot of ficus benjamina out there that have the same problem. And, you know, it's sort of, if you're an interior decorator and want to move a plant, that is not the one to move. If they're happy in a location, just don't touch them. Just leave them there and water them as a normal kind of thing. One of the things I think is one of the biggest problems with some of these houseplants, people water them in the tray and they leave water in the tray. That is not the thing you want to do.
Right. It's outside. It's a pretty big one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. You didn't tell me that. But anyway,
yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
I don't even know if it's a tree. I think it's that type of tree.
Well, yeah, they get about 80 feet tall with all sorts of air roots and things like that. If you go to the islands, that's Hawaiian. You know, that's another state. You will see probably some that are 50 to 60 years old that are in the ground. And you can't even get through to the trunk because of all of this. Small trunks that are coming and dropping out of the air. So just leave it where it is, and it will recover, and let it adjust to where you have it, and then that's all you have to do.
Right. And, Bob, the roots are higher than the soil. Should I put anything in there.
You might, yeah, you could do something like putting down a mulch, an airy thing like a shredded bark of some sort, redwood bark or cedar bark. One of those would be quite helpful to the plant.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening, Cindy. I love it. All right. You take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Dave in San Rafael. Hi there, Dave.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good enough, I guess.
I think so. I woke up this morning. Actually, the alarm went off this morning and woke me up. I haven't done that. Normally, I wake up about a half an hour before the alarm goes off, and I'm thinking, God, can I get one more? No, I do have to get up. Anyway, so far, so good today. All right, Dave, how can I help you?
Well, I hate alarms. That's why I don't use them. Anyway, I'm trying to help a friend of mine grow this little Meyer lemon tree that was planted over a year ago at least, and it's kind of struggling along. It's very green. It doesn't hardly have any leaves on it. That's my big concern, and it has some flowers. And I wanted to know if you talk about VF11 all the time, increasing foliage on plants. Is that appropriate for citrus?
Oh, it's good for everything. One of the problems we're having is trying to find it a lot of places. Go ahead.
Yes, well, that's the segue to my next question. I haven't really looked on it. I used to find it at estate sales in people's garages and stuff, like half-full bottles and stuff, but
yeah,
there's
sure.
not many of those going on now. Anyway, so is there another comparable type of product that would work as well for that?
Outside, you can use a very diluted fish emulsion.
Spray it?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I think that would help a lot. One of the things I would check, Dave, is the drainage on the plant. That's really a sensitive plant for drainage. And if it sits in water at all, even down about 3 to 4 inches, that's maybe one of the reasons that it's not doing well.
Well, it's planted at the kind of a base of a hill, and it's actually pretty dry around there.
Uh-huh. Okay. During
the drip
the season,
system, but it doesn't work.
Well, one of the problems, what doesn't work?
It has a little drip system hooked up to it.
Oh, God.
But I don't think that
anything
it's
else you want to tell me that's going on in that damn plant? All right. One, it
yes.
needs perfect drainage. Number two, it does need water occasionally. Number three, it will respond to fertilizer, either alfalfa or citrus food or VF11 or fish emulsion. It needs that, and you need to feed it once a month, 12 months out
right,
of the year.
Right, I know that. Well, okay. I used your alfalfa pellet recommendation because I've heard you recommend that many times on your show.
Sure.
And it seems to be helping it, but I'm trying to just get it to be bushier. Do you think it will
if you get it healthy, Dave, yeah, if you get it healthy and feeding it, that will help. And try that fish emulsion about half strength as recommended on the label and spray the foliage. Try that.
Okay.
I think that'll help a lot. Okay.
One other quick question. It is blossoming, and I'm not very familiar with this tree. So are those blossoms going to turn into fruit where the blossoms are, or is that separate?
No, you have a 50% chance. If a citrus really blooms, that means it's under stress. Now, here's what you said. It's at the bottom of a hill, okay?
Yeah.
Normally, through the wintertime, it would get tons of water. And maybe that was part of the... Yeah. We didn't get that this year. So while it was trying to adapt to lots of water, we don't know about the drainage, and there's a lot of ifs and ands. So I think the foliar feed would help a lot. I know the alfalfa will help. And I just think maybe just hang in there and keep it healthy.
Okay, so be patient. Okay.
Yep.
All right, thanks a lot for your advice, Bob, as usual.
Well, we try. All right, Dave, thank you for the call.
Have a good day.
You bet. Judy is in Petaluma. My goodness sakes, we're going to talk about tomatoes? Hi, Judy.
Hi. My question is, some people prune tomatoes, and I was wondering, do you suggest doing that or just leaving them alone?
Depends on the variety. If it is a determinate. That means it only grows to about 3 feet tall, and that's it. That I would leave it alone. If it's indeterminate, that means it'll get up to 4 to 5 to maybe even taller. I would then prune back what we call, well, people miscall it, the sucker. That would be the side shoots on the near the base of the plant, because you want to get the height going so that it gets more production up higher. They do better when the tomatoes ripen on the top rather than on the bottom. So that's
the decision. It's a hybrid beefsteak?
Well, it doesn't tell me anything.
Oh, okay.
You have to look it up. Beefsteak, some will be okay, God. Here's the education on tomatoes and height. Okay. Determinant are ones that only grow to 3 or 4 feet. They're very determinant. And one of the problems with determinant is that they all ripen at once and you're busy in the kitchen making sauce. The indeterminate ones are a little kinder, and they will continue to produce over the whole summertime production cycle. Okay?
Okay.
So now, to answer the question, I can't tell you what to do on whether or not the shoots should be removed or not. However, if you can find the label and then go back and look at, online, they'll tell you whether or not the tomato is determinate or indeterminate.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Judy, for that.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mark. Mark is in San Francisco. Hi there, Mark.
Hi, Bob. Good morning. Yes, I have this friend that wears the cherry tree that's just dropping all cherries. They're green, and they're sort of oblong cherries. I can't quite read the label what it was,
yeah,
what it was called. Okay. And so it's a hot shape for a cherry, and some of them are already had a blush on them. So I don't thinking maybe drainage or water, but what is that enough information to
it's on a little area. Tell me what the foliage looks like.
The foliage, the leaves, it's the leaves, you mean?
Yeah, that's what they are, yeah.
Didn't get too much sleep, so I'm a little foggy. Oval, not oval,
well,
wider.
No. Are they green?
Okay. Yeah, very green. The foliage fine, yeah.
Okay, well, that's all I needed to know. I suspect, now this is, I don't know the name of the cherry, but sometimes when they drop, they didn't get pollinated. So they'll foam, they'll have a fake fruit, but that fruit not having a seed in it, which, that's what the bees do, will drop. And they're, so I don't know.
Should I open up some of the ones on the ground and see if there's seeds in them?
If there are seeds in them, that means the bees are out there. If there's no seed in them, you've lost the battle. Okay?
Well, there's a ton of bees because they also have orange trees, and there's a lot of bees and hummingbirds in the yard.
That doesn't mean they're bad.
It depends on when
it doesn't make any sense with the cherry. When the bees find pollen, they'll go, like in a citrus tree, they're not going to go to the any other tree.
Yeah, they're real sweet and wonderful.
Yeah, okay. So there you go, Mark. I don't really have 100% answer for you, but cherries are not my fruit that I think you ought to plant anyway in the first place.
Yeah,
the birds
really
usually get them. Birds usually
that's
get
right.
them anyway.
Before they ripe.
Okay.
Before they,
all right.
Yeah. Okay,
all
thanks
right.
a lot.
Thank you, Mark. I wish I had better answers. So Sandy, Cheryl, Mary, Jesus, and Stuart, and all you wonderful people, I'll just hang on. We're going to take that break. This is Bob Tanum in the Garden Talk Radio 560, and it is KSFO.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Welcome back to Talk Radio 560 KSFO. Let's go to Sandy in Sunnyvale. Hi there, Sandy.
Hi, dear. I hope you're having a good day.
So far, so good. Yeah.
I was looking for cymbidiums for Mother's Day, this past Mother's Day. I couldn't find them. I could not find them at all. Is it a flower that was fashionable and then went out of fashion?
Could be, Sandy, but I think that some of the major cymbidium growers have given up and gone away. I haven't been in the market for so long, I don't know. I wish I could answer that. Why don't you, can you email me?
Yes.
Okay, bobtanum@aol.com. No, bobtanum@aol.com. bobtanum@aol.com. Get me that, and I will do some research on it, and I can answer your situation at that time, okay?
Okay. Could I ask another question?
Of course.
Thank you. I bought some bulbs, and I just came across them. I you know, put them where I'd remember them, and then I didn't remember where
yeah,
I
right.
put them.
Have you, no, I that no,
never happens. To
never,
you.
No, it never happens to me. Good grief! I still don't know where that other thing is.
I
forgot what that other thing was, but then I don't know where it is. Okay, I'll make your day.
Can I still put them in the ground? And
do you know what they are?
I got freesia, and I got
daffodils?
No, the smelly tulip? White flower.
Oh, hyacinths.
No, it comes on a spike.
Paper whites?
No. Such a smelly... almost had it. It has a spike, and then the white flower comes at the top.
Sounds like narcissus.
Bless it.
It's okay. I have the information right now. I don't care what kind of bulb they are.
Anyway,
go ahead and plant them.
Down 5 inches?
Yeah, I would, because they're either going to bloom or grow, or if you don't plant them, they'll rot, and you won't be able. You might as well throw them away. Putting them in the ground and go from there.
And do I put them in the refrigerator before I put them in the ground?
Put them in the ground.
Okay.
You're not going to get any blooms, more than likely, but that's okay. You know what they are. Don't forget where you put them.
Right. Well, I was going to put them in through the ginger. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, I don't think so. I would put them in a location where they are separated from everything else, maybe even put them in a pot. Okay?
Okay. Okay, you've got me thinking that also. I bought a psyllium. You just mentioned it to that gentleman about the little white flower. Alyssum.
Oh, Alyssum, yeah. Yeah.
Can I put that in my tomato patch?
Why do you want to do that? You don't need bees and tomatoes.
Do I put it in my zucchini or my...
Put it around your zucchini. That would be fine. Anything that needs bees, yes, put it around there.
Eggplant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, perfect.
Eggplant doesn't need that. There's self-pollinating, too. My thought with tomato plants is to go out at noon and shake them.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you very much for explaining that which grows up to 3 foot and that which grows taller than 3 foot.
Oh, your tomatoes. Yes, right. Okay.
I never knew that. Thank you.
Now you do. Now the trick is, what are you going to do with the knowledge? Oh, there you go. All right, Sandy. Thank you so much for that. You take care. And thanks for listening. Let's go to Cheryl. Cheryl is in San Jose. Hi there, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering if I can deadhead a Joseph's Coat climbing rose and have it rebloom.
Yes.
Oh, it will. Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to get the ladder out. The other thing is on lavender lobelia, I have them in containers, and... They're actually soul plants. One's in a bucket, one's in a decorative watering can. And I was just wondering if they like to have their feet wet, because it seems to me they don't.
You're right. They don't. Okay, they like to go. Yeah, well, they need to be watered, but they do need to be a dry cycle as well. So, yeah, that's okay. The whole thing you want to do. Okay, Cheryl?
Okay. All righty. I have some volunteer tomatoes, too, that came up. I'm thinking about sprinkling water around them to pull them apart. Is it even worth it?
I have no knowledge because they're probably a cherry tomato. And yeah. If they're cherry tomatoes, you can just let them grow and let's see what happens.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
That's what we do. All right. Let's go to one of my favorites. Let's go to Mary in Manteca. Hi there, Mary.
Hi.
How can I help you?
I have a plastic greenhouse, and I've had it for many years. It has green stuff growing on it. Moss or algae, and I wanted to know how to get it off.
Ah, okay. Now, the problem here, Mary, would be that I would recommend Clorox to lightly plant, you know, not scrape it off, but to kill the moss or whatever it is, the algae. the problem is that Clorox is not good health food for any plant you have in there right now. In 24 hours, the effect would be gone. But initially, you could burn any plants that are there. Okay.
If I use Clorox and mix it with water, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Use it just like you were going to pour it into the washing machine.
And then I'd have to be careful that I didn't get a lot of it on the ground because the plants wouldn't like it.
That is correct. Yeah, right. Although, I would just sort of squirt it onto the glass, rub it, and the glass will probably turn glassy and not green anymore.
Well, it's not glass. It's plastic.
Yeah. Well, Clorox and plastic are fine. In fact, Clorox comes in a plastic bottle.
Use a brush.
Yeah. Or sponge, yes. I think you'd have better luck with a sponge.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you very much for your advice.
Mary, yeah. Thank you for listening so many years. You've been around quite a long time, just like I have. So that's a good idea. So, Mary, thank you so much. Let's go to Steve in Calistoga. Hi there, Steve.
Hello, Bob. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Yeah, I got a question for you about my lawn. As far as when is this a good time to fertilize it, and would there may be a little bit of weed in there, so what would you recommend?
I live with weeds in lawns. It doesn't disturb me an awful lot as long as I don't have them going to seed. You know, that's the problem with dandelions. People say, oh, look at that pretty flower, and 24 hours later, look at the seeds that are floating around in my lawn. So that's one of the biggest problems. Just regular green stuff out there called grass and mix, I think I like it. I'm not worried if I have clover. I'm not worried if I have a few dandelions. However, so many people want that golf course kind of green, and they worry about the weeds and stuff like that. I never did. The only problem is 90% of the lawns in California are going to be Bermuda grass eventually anyway. So what I think, keep it green, and that's all you can actually hope for.
Yeah, it's very little weed, but what would you recommend, is this the time to be doing that right now?
Oh, yeah, I think you should feed your lawn with fertilizer, whatever your choice is, but I like the organic materials, and there's several companies like Dr. Earth, B&G, that are available in nurseries. I would go to a nursery to buy lawn fertilizer and try to do the organic method. I have used in the past just alfalfa pellets, and they seem to do the job as well.
Alfalfa pellets for the lawn. Okay, good.
They work.
Yeah. Okay, and this is the time to be doing that right now.
That is correct. I do it three times a year.
Three times. Okay, Bob, thank you again, as always. Appreciate all your great information. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and thanks for listening. You know, we do like that. Anyway, Joanne and George and Henry, just hang on. I got to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Go to Joanne in Mountain View. Hi there, Joanne.
Hi there, Bob. I'm just wondering, I've been feeding the birds with those thistle sacks.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
And now I notice that these little teeny tiny bugs are all in my soil. Are they from that? And do you have any idea what I'm talking about? They're about the size of, like, dried dill. And there's thousands of them. And I'm not sure if they're from the thistles or they're attracted to them.
I think that's probably the same. Are the thistles of New Zealand?
That's what I did.
Are the thistles flying? Whatever. I don't. Oh, let's have a good laugh on that one. Let me take my mouth out and do something with it. Thistles on the. Never mind. Anyway, I am not sure about the bugs and the thistles. But
okay. I did take a video. I'll send it to you. I just want to know if they're going to affect the flowers that I'm growing and whether they're
eating
at the
roots. What they can be, yeah, Joanne, what they can be. Now, are around the bird feeder, do you see anything growing?
The plants are growing, but they seem, you know, like maybe they should be thriving a little more. It's like petunias and...
Oh, okay. No, I mean, are the thistle seeds growing?
Are they growing? No.
Okay. Then I wouldn't be concerned. What I am concerned about is I think that those little bugs could be flea beetles. So what I would do is to, if you can go to a nursery and get some yellow sticky cards.
Okay, yeah.
And I would put those around the area where you see the bugs. And you'll probably make sure that they'll just take off and go to the sticky cards, and that'll be the end of the problem.
Okay. Well, they're walking. They're not. I don't see any wings. They just look like, and they're crawling. Well,
flea
they're
beetles.
Like,
yeah, flea beetles don't fly.
Or anything. They just.
No, they're not. Yeah, they just fly. But the yellow cards will tell you more than what I can tell you on the radio. Yeah.
Okay.
Or even send me a picture.
Can I just ask you one more question?
Yellow.
Has Dave ever put out his music, a list of his great music?
Yeah, David.
On your website or anything? Really?
Where's the music, David?
So. How do I do that?
I do have a recording of a lot of that.
Well, I can't publish a public one because of music rights, but I could maybe do a YouTube playlist.
Well, why don't you go to david@creativegoose.com and ask that question?
All righty. We'll do.
All right. There you go, Joanne.
Okay. Thank you so much.
We try to answer even if I'm wrong, but I do try to answer. Okay. There you go, Joanne. And thank you so much for the call and being around.
For his bumper music.
There you go. Thump, thump, thump. Anyway, Bonnie in San Francisco. Hi there, Bonnie.
Yeah. Last week I called you about the gophers in my lawn, and you told me to use fish fertilizer. Well, actually, I did that, but even there was a big hole there, and I just poured the whole thing down. But it didn't phase the stupid thing, and it's you know, still making mounds in my lawn. Somebody told me about dry ice. Do you think that would work?
Yeah, it's CO2. That might work as well. That'll form a lot of gas down the hole, and it will sink down into the channels. I've never thought about dry ice, but logically it would work because dry ice is nothing but frozen CO2.
I'm trying to find out where I can get it. So far, I haven't been able to find it.
Go to grocery stores that sell liquor.
Oh, really? Oh, they would have it. Okay.
Or just liquor stores that sell liquor, those kind of things. Use the yellow pages. Well, God, you don't get any yellow pages anymore. They're dumb. But anyway, in the good old days, we used to have yellow pages. But find a business thing and look at liquor stores and ask them. Some will carry it, and I think that's your best source.
How do you use it? Do you just push it down all the way?
Very carefully, you put it down in the hole, and you have to wear really, you know, it burns if you touch it.
Oh, okay.
It's very dangerous. That's probably why I'm not really too excited about it. Fish emulsion doesn't burn, so that might be one of the things you want to take a look at. But
I did that, but they ignored it.
Well, do it more than once.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Well, Bonnie, I don't know. You know, my very first program was on in San Francisco, KGO, and it was nothing but gophers, gophers, gophers. And so one of the things was the questions were all about gophers. And so one of the people that called me said, well, my sister up in Seattle puts Ex-Lax down the hole.
Oh.
And I said, well, certainly going to keep him on the run. And then we went to, and that's when America's Happy Gardener was born. That was so funny. Oh, it just, I have no idea. I've never tried Ex-Lax down the hole, but it certainly sounded like it would keep him on the run.
Well, I'll try everything I can because this guy is tough.
Well, okay. Well, you can always trap him, but that's there's, you know, all sorts of things that if you had large areas of lawn and had a lot of gophers, I would use the Gopher Hawk, which you can get over. You can go to gopherhawk.com and they can send you all the equipment you need to kill the gosh darn thing, you know. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Bonnie. Thank you. I wish I had better answers for that type of thing. I'm not sure. I've never tried Ex-Lax down the hole. Try it. It might work. I don't know. Anyway, Bonnie, thanks for the call. Let's go to Merrill in Mountain View. Hi there, Merrill.
Good morning. I have the lady that called a little bit ago about the Cymbidium orchids. I've got a lot that I want to get rid of. So maybe we can connect somehow. I don't know.
Okay. Put that on my email, bobtanum@aol.com. Okay?
Okay.
And then maybe, gosh, let's see, I've got that call lined up here, Cymbidiums, it's up in here someplace. But she was going to email me anyway, so maybe I can get that if everybody emails me and puts down garden. That's one of the things. If you email me, put garden or something plant or something like that, because otherwise you get wound up in the spam and I can't catch every one of them.
Exactly. Okay, I'll do that. Also, there is a Cymbidium Society in, I think, Menlo Park. What's north of that? Just north of Menlo Park. Somewhere up there. It's a Cymbidium Society group.
And there's an Orchid Society as well, too, of which I have all those. I think I have numbers for all of those. I'm not sure. Well, we'll check it out and see what we can do.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.